Michael Jackson, King of the Pop Music. Dennis Rodman, the Basketball Rebound King during his Chicago Bulls days. Megyn Kelly, the popular former anchor of Fox News. Aaron Hernandez, the rising football star who died unexpectedly recently. These figures that are popular or were popular, they have two things in common. One, all of them have unfinished business. And number two, all of them have the same theme song, Yesterday. You remember the song? Yesterday, all my troubles seem, I'm about to sing it, so far away, pray for me. Now it looks like as though they are here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I am not half the man I used to be. There is a shadow hanging over me. Oh, I believe in yesterday. The question of the hour that begs to be answered now is, what is unfinished business? Fritz Perls, one of the founders of Gestalt theory, defines unfinished business as emotions or memories surrounding past experiences that a person has avoided or repressed or even repressed that are still affecting him or her negatively today. Folks, unfinished business can be finished by the grace and help of God. Today's message will address the cause, the case, and the cure of unfinished business and how we can benefit from this message today. Together, let us now explore Roman number 1 in our message. You can see it projected. Unfinished business, its cure. The cure of unfinished business. It can be summarized into two, psychological and theological. Let's look at quickly the psychological cause of unfinished business. One, avoidance of past painful experiences. The key word there is avoidance. The person avoids, suppresses, and represses yesterday's emotional hurts, consequently affecting present functioning. Let's look at the human brain for our illustration. Basically, the human brain has two parts, the left brain and the left side and the right side. Based on 5 cases using MRI technologies, provide compelling evidence that the brain interprets pain, both physical and emotional, in the same way. When something happened to us, whether it's the pain is physical or emotional, the brain lights up. Not just on the physical pain, even on emotional pain, the brain is activated. Now, Matthew Lieberman, in his book entitled Social, Why Our Brains Are Wired to Connect, agree with these findings when he said, the human brain intuitively knows both physical and emotional pain. So when a husband says, ouch, my knee is hurt. And when someone says, you really hurt me by what you said, the brain feels the same way. These pains are remembered by the brain. the sad and painful emotional experience are stored in our brain. Consequently, when these experiences are avoided, suppressed, and repressed, and not addressed, it affects the person's present functioning. This person keeps on singing what song? Wow, you are alert. Yesterday. What a sad song. What a sad song. After looking at that, let's look at the unresolved concerns or issues, another psychological cause. Unresolved concerns or issues, past or present concerns, task or the elephant in the room, that means obvious problem or difficult situation that people do not want to talk or address. Not addressing issues or concerns that have been unresolved or not completed, or that a person has yet come to terms within their life. Let's look at quickly the different examples of unfinished business as suggested by Dr. Arlene Taylor. Let's look at them quickly one by one. Emotions or grief. Many have not yet expressed or addressed. Decisions that need to be made. Personal relationships that lack completion or closure. Gifts or abilities that were suppressed due to lack of acceptance. Apologies that need to be made for hurtful behavior. Revenge that needs to be stopped. From psychological causes of unfinished business, let's move quickly to the theological causes. The theological causes of unfinished business. Let's look at our text quickly in Genesis. The Word of God says, God saw that what God created was very good, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Let's continue the text. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Let's hold it. Let's continue it a little bit later. Theological cause from the Word of God. B1, I call it the Hawaii factor. You want to call it Maui factor, it's fine. The setting of Adam's family was in a paradise. A perfect environment, the original state of God's creation was declared to be very good. God saw all he had created to be very good. God wanted to test Adam and Eve if they will obey his clear command and warning that they are free to eat from any of the fruit in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it will result to death as a consequence. Louis Berkhof, the author of Systematic Theology, expressed his apprehension when he said, the great question that had to be settled was whether they would obey God or follow the guidance of his own judgment. Unfortunately, the couple failed the test. The party in paradise is over. The paradise, we will see it later, will change dramatically. I don't need to complete this text or this story because we know the story. The couple messed up. To make the story short, that's what happened. As a result of disobedience to God's clear commandment of Adam and Eve, the following problems became the consequences. Spiritual problems. Adam and Eve's relationship with God was broken. They were spiritually separated from God. Psychological problems. Guilt and shame due to their disobedience and loss of innocence. You know the story. Marital conflict. The blame game between the couple, the first recorded marital dispute in human history was started by them. It sounds familiar today. I don't want to dwell. But it was started in the garden. Physical problems. The process of death started for Eve. Childbearing became difficult as a consequence. Financial problem. Verse 17 to 19. What happened to Adam? What was his punishment? No work, no pay. No honey, no money. You think I invented that? It's there. Housing problem. They were evicted from paradise. The first homeless case in human history. Environmental problem. Even the environment and the ground was cursed as a result of their disobedience. That's the sad thing that happened in this story. What is your theme song? Where do you live? What year is today? You think I'm embarrassing you? We will see. From the cause, and now let's quickly move to unfinished business, its case. Let's play a little bit the role of psychologist or social worker today. You know, the key word in social work is case, cases. I have chosen two cases, and by the way, true story from the Word of God. Let's look at these two cases today. A, the case of prominent couple and their family. We look at Genesis 27, verses 1 to 43. I'll just read the few initial verses just to give us an idea what happened in this notable family. You know this story. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." You know the story. The blessing that was granted in the natural to the wrong person, of course that is controversial, according to Jacob. You know their names. Isaac, Rebekah, the couple, their children, Esau, and Jacob. Now, let's look at the issues of this family. What were their issues? Quickly, favoritism in the family. Verses 2 to 10. Favoritism. I hope it doesn't sound familiar. And then the next one for couple, marital schism. I will explain that a little bit later. Verses 5 to 10. favoritism, marital schism. Now, let's look at quickly the consequences of these issues in their family. Hatred toward sibling, we see that in verses 27 to 47. Make the story short. Jacob hated his brother because he felt he was not treated fairly. Hatred in the family. The next consequence, father-son alienation, 41 to 43. As a result of this family conflict, Jacob was forced to go back to the family of origin of his parents. And then, more serious, the next consequence, believe it or not, prevented murder. Verses 41 to 43. Prevented murder in this family. Isaac and his family are indeed special in the plan of God. He was a miracle baby, do you remember? He was the promised son by God to his father Abraham. Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Esau and Jacob, eventually became Israel and a nation through his 12 sons. As we see in the text and in the case study, despite his esteemed spiritual and historical prominence as a human being, he and his marriage and family had unfinished business. The problem started when the time came for Isaac to pronounce the much coveted blessing. We are all aware of the theological overtone of this significance of this blessing with regards to the sovereignty of God, but I am not dwelling there today because I would like to zero in on their marriage and family dynamics in line with our series, Home Improvement. Daddy Isaac's favorite son was, you know the story, Esau, the firstborn. Jacob, the younger of the two, was Mommy Rebecca's favorite, according to Genesis 25, verse 28. And by the way, these brothers were twins. Whatever the possible motive of Rebecca, her means of securing the blessing was fraudulent or deceptive. She taught Jacob to lie and undermine the husband's decision. Mommy Rebecca and Jacob eventually succeeded, but with the price of a family feud that happened after that, because the process in the blessing was tricky. So there was a family feud, as we see it in our text. Their family issues, favoritism, as I already alluded, and marital schism, which is defined as a split of opinion between two parties in marriage without any seeming route to solve it. This result to marital discord and dysfunctional family dynamics. Does it sound familiar? Marital discord. Marital schism. How does this look like between couple, in the couple? Making decision without consulting each other. Not just debating, but conflict always ensued because of this dysfunctional practice with couple. What happened? Hatred towards sibling. Esau started hating Jacob and even plotted to kill him because he felt he was not treated fairly. Father-son alienation got separated and there was a family feud, as the Word of God says. Let's move on to the next case that will make headline today. This one will go viral. The names of the characters in this study are Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's brother. Before going into our next case study, let me make some brief comments quickly. Jacob is the son of Isaac, of course, and the grandson of Abraham. They are patriarchs in Israel. I am making a point, as you will see later, that's why we are highlighting this. He had a tough life as a young person, but he had a heart for God. He had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob and his children have colorful and challenging past that even Jerry Springer will not accept in his program. You will see. Now, let's continue and look at the family issues. Issue. Favoritism. Sounds familiar? This is now the second case. The record says Jacob loved Joseph more than his brothers. What else can you say? And to make matters worse, Jacob even ordered a nice jacket to give it to his favorite son. Consequences of this issue in the family? Jealousy, hatred. Sounds familiar? Planned murder. Human trafficking. Pastor Abe, where did you get that? Sounds contemporary. You know what happened, right? The brothers of Joseph, because they were so envious and angry because of father's favoritism, one time they decided to take care of him. One of them suggested, let's finish him. But somebody intervened, let's just make money. Let's be businessmen today. So they threw him in the pit. And then eventually they sold him. And Joseph landed as a slave in the land of Egypt. Now, social worker and psychologist, after they study their cases, what do you think will be, what will happen after that? The findings of these two cases, quickly. It's not in your outline. I'll just express them quickly. Unfinished business. Remember, these two cases, these two families have obvious unfinished business findings. Unfinished business is universal. It can happen to anyone, Christians and non-Christian alike, young, old, couples, families, individuals, like Joseph, Jacob, his brothers, Esau and Rebekah, and other couples. Next, unfinished business is detrimental or damaging. It can result in hatred, violence in family or family feud, couples conflict, parent-child relational problems, verbal abuse, and other forms of abuses, like in the case of the two families that we have heard. Additionally, it may also result in depression, anxiety, relational problem, withdrawal, and missed life's opportunity. Next, unfinished business can be transmitted. Now, it's very serious. In the two biblical case studies, there are repeated patterns of behavior from one generation to another. That's why I used two related cases. And what was the pattern in this family that we have seen? Favoritism, hatred, attempted murder, family feud. Very obvious there. Why? It started by Grandpa who? Isaac. Then Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons.
What did Jacob do when with his 12 children? Say it. Favoritism. Another findings, unfinished business, this is the good news, can be reversed. That's the good news. It can stop and can be reversed. It can be finished. That's why I made that bold statement a while ago. It can be reversed, like in the case of Joseph. Joseph eventually had his own family, married. He had 2 children. I challenge you when you go home and read the story of Joseph and his family. When you read his family story, his own marriage and 2 children, you will not find Joseph repeating the problem of favoritism. Joseph's favorite expression sounded like an American, the buck stops with me. He changed his song. He threw away yesterday. What is your theme song? Where do you live? What year is today? Finally, from cause to case, now the cure or the solution to unfinished business. Let's look at quickly present solution. 1, express, that's the word. In order to be free from unfinished business, there is a need to activate suppressed emotions and express them to get out from our chest and our minds. We can express our feelings like to God and to a trusted friend or even a counselor. Let's give you a biblical example quickly of expressing our emotions to the Lord. Psalms 42, verse 9, and I quote, I say to my God, you are my rock. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Why are you downcast, O my soul? He was even talking to himself. Why do you disturb within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What a confession by the psalmist. After expressing our emotion, we now go to solution number 2. We need to decide to let go. Decide to let go. Use the concept of powerlessness and power to our benefit. Michael Strummer, a Christian counselor, expounds this concept beautifully when he said, where before you may have been powerless and could not control the things that happened to you, now you hold the power to decide how you would want your life to be. In dealing with your past, you are keeping yourself from happiness and living out your life today. You hold the key to decide to dwell in the past and keep on singing yesterday, but you will continue to miss out in your life today. Jesus said, the thief comes but to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Express. Let go. Forgive. Forgive. Jesus is ahead of the game when it comes to forgiveness. He knows the power of forgiveness from experience and the effect of healing as a result. And then Jesus said, in His Word in Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. You know, hatred, the counselor, Christian counselor, observed, hatred is like fast food. You know, all of us like fast food every now and then, I hope. Fast food tastes yummy while you are ingesting it or eating it, but no good spiritual value. If you eat too much of it for a long time, you will end up facing serious consequences. It provides short-term pleasure, but with a long-term damaging effect. Hatred and anger and suppressed feelings that are not expressed is like fast food. Back to Joseph's story. Sold to Egypt by his brothers. Finally, after 10 to 12, 15 years, in the providence of God, they met again, but in a different context. Joseph now was the prime minister of Egypt, but the brothers were not aware. After a long drama, Joseph finally invited them into his house, the record shows. He prepared a grand fiesta for them. After that, when they were in a private room, the Bible says, Joseph broke his silence. Joseph said, I'm your brother. The brothers were frozen like in the movie. They thought they were about to be this. And then Joseph cried, embraced them, kissed them. The brothers were, and then they responded in kind. They embraced one another, they kissed one another, and then Joseph said to them, relax. You intended to harm me, but God turned it for our good. He gave it a positive meaning. He forgave his brothers. He let them go, and he let himself go, not singing the song yesterday. One time I was a speaker in a medium-sized congregation many years ago. It was a midweek service. There was a testimony time, and one macho-looking guy stood to share his testimony. He said, I am a policeman, a detective in my department. I have a wife. I have two children. He began to choke. I have a father. In my lifetime up to now, I haven't experienced, I cannot recall, my dad hugging me and embracing me. 3 times he said, I don't recall my dad embracing or hugging me as a small boy, even as an adult. And then he began to cry. And then he said, but now I'm a Christian. I have forgiven my dad. I am not a hug person or an embracing person. But he said, I don't want to repeat what I missed from my dad. I hug and I embrace my children daily. That was his unfinished business. Maybe you are asking me today, Abe, why did you keep on asking me, what is your theme song? Where do you live? What year is today? This is the reason. What is your address? What year is today? Of course, we know the year is 2017. I succeeded in catching your attention. It is in the plan to be sure I have you. Mission accomplished. Unfinished business finished. All of us know the year. Now, maybe some of you are still living in what happened in 1990. With what happened in 2010. What happened even earlier than that, when somebody spoke to you harshly and your emotion was hurt. When you got laid off unjustly, when there was a divorce in 1995. All of us have unfinished business, so relax. But today, we can change our song. From yesterday to today, today, why the blossom clings to the vine, I take the strawberry and drink your, I cannot say the word, a million tomorrow may all pass away, lest I forget the joy that is mine today. Today is my moment, and right now is my story. So I laughed, and I danced, and I sing. Today. That can be our song, but most importantly, the song for us is, I am moving forward. That's the song. From present solution to the ultimate solution, quickly. John 19:30, you know the words of Jesus. It is finished. Why? Because Jesus had unfinished business, the salvation of our souls. And then in Revelation 21, verse 6, Jesus said, from it is finished, Jesus said, it is done. It is done. The ultimate solution. And what do you see in the initial verses in Revelation 21? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he will make a brand new earth and heaven to replace the mess of paradise. And it says there in Revelation 21, no more tears, no more death, no more sadness, no more pain. Yesterday is changed to today and future. I am moving forward. The unfinished business stops right now by the grace of God. Let us move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit and live beginning today.